Hello and welcome to episode number 13 of the Lunch Table Talk podcast. In today's episode, I'll be going over a certain MLB's player's idea for this upcoming season. I'll go over what happened over the weekend having to do with the COVID-19 driving relief match for the PGA Tour, and then along with some interesting slash sad news within the NFL world. So, before I start, I want to say something that I received a DM over Instagram from someone who listened to the podcast, and they were like, "Hey man, love the stuff, but I feel like I don't know you very well, and I don't even know your name." And I was kind of confused. I was like, had I really not said my name in the podcast before? Wow, it's kind of, that's interesting to know, because it just kind of blew by me. I completely disregarded telling my name on the podcast. I figured I should do it eventually. For those of you who follow me on Instagram, my name is in my bio. So if you go over there, you'd had already known my name, but for those of you who don't have Instagram or don't follow me, my name is Cody Sterling. Just like the Indianapolis NFL team. Just a slightly important piece of information that someone asked me to share, and I'm perfectly fine with sharing. So I'm sorry that it took 13 episodes to share with you guys that. But anyway, moving on to the sports side of the podcast, which is our main focus, of course. Bryce Harper proposed a idea for the upcoming MLB season, figuring how the MLB has been delayed already by more than a month. Now's a good time to figure out what we're going to have to do in case of a shortened league, or just what's going to happen overall, even if we're going to have a league to begin with. I'm just going to read off what he said on Instagram in his most recent post. It sounds like he thought quite in depth about this, which I'm glad some of the players are giving their ideas about this whole situation. I know Harper shared his ideas, and then Bauer shared some ideas, Michael Lorenzen, and a few other guys. But he starts off by saying, "Beyond the health and safety, which comes first for all players, staff, workers, fans, and families, this is just an idea I've been thinking about." Which, of course, the safety of all comes before sports. He says, he's going to get rid of divisions and instead do only conferences. And those would be divided into East and West, like the NBA. I'll go a lot more in depth on the East and West, what the conferences would look like if that were the case. He said, here are the dates for the season. July, we'll start July 1st. So July has 31 days, August 31 days, September 30 days, October 31 days, and November 15 days, which gives us a total of 135 games. He says, off day every 2 weeks on a Monday and a Sunday, and Sundays would have doubleheaders equaling 7 innings each. That could be an interesting dilemma. I know some players and fans might be upset about not playing the full 18 innings they would normally on a doubleheader, but sometimes doubleheaders can even go into extra innings, and that could equal over 30 innings of baseball if you're an established starter. So I think 14 innings for every Sunday is plenty. For the roster, it would be 30 players, and for the rotation, it would be 6 instead of 5, and that's to save arms, he says. If pitchers wanted this, if not, no big deal, and designated in any other ideas possible. Of course, the universal DH has been talked about forever now, and if you're gonna put this Bryce Harper idea into action, I think testing out the universal DH now would be the perfect time to do that. The playoffs would be a two-week World Series, similar to Super Bowl week, he said. This is the thing that kind of confused me. He says 10 teams in college World Series style at the new Texas Stadium, or whatever stadium/stadiums are best. Three-game series. If you win the series, you move on, obviously. And then he says, if you lose, you play the other loser in a one-game wild card. Winner of that moves on. Other team is out. I was confused by this. I don't really understand what he's saying about the wild card game. But to me, it sounds like he's saying play one game wild card and then maybe the losers play each other for like a to decide draft picks easier. I'm not really sure. But that's what I got for it. Or you could play it, he says, or you could play it in Las Vegas. So you have the Vegas Strip hotels. And you could use one hotel for all the guys and contain possibly. I mean, by the time the playoffs come around in, mid-November, I like to think that all this is going to be completely over. Fingers crossed, of course, but if it's not, the strip hotels would be a good idea because no one would be allowed on the Vegas Strip hotels and the Vegas Strip to begin with. So, and the hotels in Las Vegas are certainly big enough to hold all these guys. The two remaining teams left in each conference would play a 7-game World Series. They get 2 days off before the series. With those 2 days off, you could possibly do an All-Star game or a home run derby, similar to what the NFL does. And you can also do the MLB awards at that time. I still like the idea of the MLB awards being at the end of the season, just so none of like, just so all the players can attend it. And he says, open this up to all platforms, no blackouts. Open it for everybody to watch, which again, I'll talk about more later. Love that idea. And then he says, to back up the season for the next 2 years until we get back on track with the regular schedule. May 1st would be next season, so 2021, and then April 1st for 2022. So now that we have Bryce Harper's idea laid out, I'm going to be sharing my opinions slash ideas on this whole situation. My first thing is, if you want to experiment with different formats for the playoffs and the regular season, now would certainly be the time to do so. For the playoffs, I'd still like to have a 5-game ALCS slash NLCS series, not 3, because we get 3-game series that I feel like it's easier to decide the better team in a 5-game series and 3-game series. Just a bigger sample size, and I think it's more fair. For the All-Star game, still have the vote for the All-Star game and give the All-Star players recognition, but don't play the game. I think that playing well in this strange season should still be recognized and put on the resume. Unfortunately, I think we're going to have to miss out on the home run derby. That would be a very busy week if we were to have the home run derby, the All-Star game, and a World Series game all in the MLB awards ceremony. So that's four of the biggest events in the MLB season happening within the week. So I think that would just be very chaotic for a lot of these guys. And he said he didn't mention if he would want to have fans or not, but my guess and opinion is that there wouldn't be fans, at least for the majority of the season, which is very unfortunate, but again, it's for the best for the fans, players, coaching staff, etc. So, my favorite part is the opening to all platforms. That would most likely include YouTube and Twitch, which would probably be the most popular platforms. With my TV provider, I get all the Orioles games, a few national games every once in a while, and the national televised games every week, and then, of course, the playoffs. I play fantasy baseball, so I'd like to watch my players and get points. Watch my players get points. Plus, it's always fun to watch the big-name players play ball. I mean, on the East Coast, I barely get to see guys like Trout, Bellinger, Arenado, Chapman. List goes on. Because believe it or not, I don't really enjoy watching Chris Davis strike out 250 times per season. Now on to the division slash conference Eastern Western style thing. It may be difficult for those in the middle of the United States teams like St. Louis, Kansas City, Arlington, etc., because they would be traveling a lot more than other teams like Atlanta, Nationals, like Boston. I looked up an MLB map on the internet, and there's a lot more East teams than West teams. So I just chose the most Eastern teams to play in the Eastern League, and of course the most Western teams to play in the Western League. I think that's just the simplest way to go about this. So here are the leagues if that's what they decided on. The East Conference would be Boston Red Sox, New York Yankees, New York Mets, Toronto Blue Jays, Philadelphia Phillies, Washington Nationals, Baltimore Orioles, Pittsburgh Pirates, Cincinnati Reds, Cleveland Indians, Detroit. Ooh, talk about the NFL later, not right now. Detroit Tigers, Atlanta Braves, Miami Marlins, Tampa Bay Rays, and the Chicago White Sox. It's the Chicago White Sox, not the Chicago Cubs, because technically, the Guaranteed Rate Park is more eastern than Wrigley Field. That leaves every other team to play in the West, which includes the Chicago Cubs, Milwaukee Brewers, St. Louis Cardinals, Minnesota Twins, Kansas City Royals, Texas Rangers, Houston Astros, Colorado Rockies, the Diamondbacks, Seattle Mariners, and of course our five California teams, which are the Giants, Angels, Dodgers, Athletics, and Padres. Of course, both sides are 15 teams each. Let me know what you think of this. What Bryce Harper laid out, I think it's a very good idea. Of course, like I said times before, if you're going to experiment with new ideas and formats, now is the season to do so, for sure. So, now on to the COVID-19 driving relief sponsored by TaylorMade Golf in partnership with the PGA Tour. First off, things and stats to know before the match. Dustin Johnson and Rory McIlroy were on his team, playing for the American Nurses Foundation. They were playing against Ricky Fowler and Matthew Wolff, who played for the CDC Foundation. Coming into the match, Rory and Dustin were favored minus 180. Probably would have guessed that, seeming that they're both top five in the world right now. And Ricky and Matt were underdogs at minus or at plus 145. The final results for this match, they tied with pars on the 18th hole. So we got a closest to the hole competition on the par 3, number 17, where Rory McIlroy clutched up on the very last shot to win the match for Rory McIlroy and Dustin Johnson. The donations are still coming in right now, but as of time of this recording, the total donations sit at the Skins match raised $3 million. Rory and Dustin raised $1,850,000. And of course, Ricky and Matt raised $1,150,000. With our long drive bonuses, that adds $450,000, and our birdie and eagle bonuses added $1 million. And then, for all the viewers at home who could donate, together they donated $1,053,959, which gives us a total of $5,503,959 for COVID-19 relief. Now, my thoughts on the match. They had mic packs on themselves the whole time, so why did we only get to hear them talk to each other on the first and last hole? That was really no annoying to know that we could have had and heard some smack talk and just regular conversation with some of the game's best. I would have loved to see it. The 18th hole was easily the best one to watch because we got an interview with Rory McIlroy. It was worth six skins and $1.1 million for the winner. You could definitely tell the players were a little rusty, but they're still shooting low 70s, so nothing to complain about, if you ask me. It did feel like I was watching one of my high school matches. They had to carry their own bags, find their own yardages, and they got to wear shorts, which I'm sure they loved. The announcer said, it's hard to watch these guys play in 105-degree weather in pants. And they, of course, were helping out their teammates, which we're highly encouraged to do so on the course in my high school matches. So, all in all, hats off to the players and everyone involved with this charity fundraiser. I think they did a fantastic job gaining money for a great cause. Now, I'm going to be talking about some interesting, problematic, almost, news from the NFL. I'll go over there's two things I want to go over. The first one is revolved around Baltimore safety and former member of the Legion of Boom, Earl Thomas. He was held at gunpoint by his wife after being caught doing something he definitely shouldn't have been doing with his brother, of all people, and two other women. I'm sure you guys have heard that story already. He's posted on Instagram about it. And he made an Instagram post about Colin Cowherd calling him out, and then another one about just warning people that he was going to be on the news and to not be alarmed. But to hear that one of the game's best was held at gunpoint, it's hard not to worry. So I think he's doing all right now. I'm not sure what's going to happen with his marriage, but hopefully everything smooths out soon enough. Now I'm going to go over all the NFL arrest charges that we've had in the past week. I can't believe I have to do this. Number one, Seattle cornerback Quentin Dunbar is facing 4 counts of armed robbery. Number two, New York Giants cornerback DeAndre Baker is facing 4 counts of armed robbery and 4 charges of aggravated assault with a firearm. I have to share that story. It's just too interesting not to. So here's the article I got it from. The two men were partying in Florida on May 13th when things took a disturbing turn. Cops say Baker and Dunbar were allegedly hanging at a cookout when an argument broke out and Baker whipped out the semi-automatic firearm. Cops say Dunbar assisted in taking watches and other valuables at the direction of Baker. Baker directed a third man, who wasn't named in the article, who was wearing a red mask, to shoot somebody who had just walked into the party. Thank gosh no one was shot or injured. Law enforcement says the men made out with more than $7,000 in cash and valuable watches, including a $18,000 Rolex, a $25,000 Hublot, and a pricey Audemars Piguet, timepiece. I'm sorry, I butchered that. It looks French, so I'm not really sure how to pronounce that. To me, it sounds like Baker was the man behind the madness and was shooting at was shouting at Dunbar to do this. Still doesn't take away from the fact that Dunbar was in on it and he robbed somebody. So, not taking any sides for that. Except for the cops. Number three, Washington Redskins wide receiver Cody Latimer was arrested for assault and illegal discharge of a firearm. And number four, Buffalo defensive tackle Ed Oliver was arrested for driving under the influence. And to add to that, the cops who arrested him found a gun in his car, so he's probably facing some firearm charges along with the DUI. So, I mean, all these guys are young players who showed they have a lot of talent and promising careers last season, so I just don't understand this. I mean, Dunbar just got a very nice contract, so why are you stealing $7,000 in Rolexes, man? I mean, come on. I just don't understand that at all. But yeah, that's all the sports stuff we have for the week. Next episode, I'm going to be talking about the golf match between Tiger Woods, Phil, Peyton, and Tom Brady. I might do an episode on The Last Dance. We'll see about that. I didn't enjoy the last few episodes as much as I did the first few, but if you guys want to see a Last Dance episode along with that, me reviewing the golf match, feel free to DM me on Instagram at colte23. That's at colte23. This has been the Lunch Table Talk Podcast, episode 13. I look forward to seeing you in episode 14. Again, if you made it this far, thank you very much, and have a good day.